You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning. What is up? Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network, and back in Studio One and the corporate headquarters after a couple great days at MCRD in San Diego, and I'm not saying that, you know, because that's what you say after you do something. I'm saying that because they were awesome, great days. Brigadier General Ryan Heritage, who I think I taught at IOC, is, he's a great guy. And had just a wonderful experience throughout. They rolled out the red carpet for post-traumatic winning. Got a ton of their Marines to it. General Heritage, on the first day in the morning and the afternoon, he gave the introduction. And he an amazing story. I never heard anything like it in my life. He and his wife have raised foster children while having their own kids while on active duty in the United States military. I don't know that I've ever heard that. And I was thinking about it. I said, I don't know anybody that's done that. And I don't mean one either. Right? I mean, they have multiple foster kids. He stood up and he talked about, you know, the different experiences they've had, you know, with these children that have come into their family. They've raised. And so, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And the support people there, from the audiovisual people to the people that, you know, the MCCS people who run all the different behavioral health programs. They showed up and they were awesome. There was a colonel by the name of Tom Fay who stood up on the second day to introduce it. And again, the key to post-traumatic winning is, I mean, if you, those of you who listen know this, but people come in and they're like, here we go again. 3 hours of my life, I'm never going to get back. And, you know, and so the presentation is deliberately engineered to have table flipping moments from the start. And the first one is the person who introduces it, from General Furness to General Pasagian to Major General Olson to who else is introduced? And I'm drawing a blank here. To all the different people, I mean, their role is to flip the table so that whoever is coming to this knows that this is not, right, I don't really know what's going on here, but this is not normal. And that's, and to me that's important, that from the time they walk into this thing, it's not a normal experience. And it starts with the person introducing them. And the stories they tell about, told about their personal life are amazing. And what happens is, and most of the time, nobody in the building knows what, you know, what the personal stuff that people deal with. General Furness talks about the burden he bears with 100 of his Marines being killed in combat, and you know, his calling every one of them and telling the families that you know we are going to make sure that this sacrifice that you bear for the nation, we're going to make sure that it sticks and that it will not be in vain. Well, now you look at Afghanistan and Iraq, it's like, you know, in his words, I mean, I struggle because, you know, is that going to happen? And then are they going to think that I lied to them? Are they going to hate my guts? You know, so, and then he talked about, you know, the day that he found out that his four-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, was mentally retarded. And that, and, you know, just how that changed their lives. And so you sit there and you watch it. And then you watch the Marines watching it. And they've never really heard a general officer speak like that. And rarely heard a senior officer or senior staff and CO be that honest about, you know, what they dealt with in their life. General Mullen, when he introduced it, you know, I want to say the Mullen family had 5 kids. I think they were all boys. 4 of them together, like a lot of families, and then one a little bit later in life. And the younger one, I mean, they become the pet, right, of the family. And as you're older, you take them everywhere you go. And he said, you know, I was his hero. I'm a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps on Okinawa in, you know, in the 80s. And I get a phone call that, you know, my 11-year-old brother drowned playing near a creek. After a lot of rain in the Philadelphia area, he slipped into the creek and was sucked into a culvert and drowned. And you see the emotion that they speak with. And everybody in the auditorium is like, General Pasagian told the story about being, I want to say, 15 years old, working in an ice cream shop in Brooklyn or something, New York City. And just after closing, I think, about closing time, 2 guys walked in and beat the shit out of him and robbed the place. And you know, one of them, it was either put a gun to his head or stuck it in his mouth. You know, as a 15-year-old. And you're sitting there listening to it, and you're watching everybody. And everybody's just sitting there going, are you shitting me? And so, so that's what starts post-traumatic winning. Is this table flipping moment. And Brigadier General Heritage is great. And then yesterday, there's a colonel by the name of Tom Fay. And he stood up because General Heritage couldn't be there and welcomed everybody. And then he started talking about, that we all deal with it. We're all human beings. And I'm watching the Marines and they're just looking at him. And so he starts to talk about suicide. He said, you know, my first real issue, I never had a Marine in my unit killed. You know, commit suicide. And he talked about that. And when he was a regimental commander of a combat logistics regiment, He said, I had three Marines. So that was my introduction. And then I went, I tried to get educated. I went to some national seminars on it that the DOD puts on. Talked about that. They talked about some suicide issues in his own family and how devastating, you know, that was for him. And then he was telling the story of driving home. You know, he's at MCRD in San Diego. He lives on Coronado, the island. So he's driving over the Coronado Bridge to go home. And he sees two cars stopped on the Coronado Bridge, and the people are out of the car. And so he goes past them, and then he pulls over. And as he looks, there's a woman who's clearly distraught and a younger guy talking to her. And so he approaches, and she's on the hood of her car getting ready to step on the side of the bridge. And he essentially goes up and kind of tackles her and grabs her, you know, and then he couldn't talk anymore. And when he finally is able to talk, and I know because this happens to me all the time. I mean, and for whatever reason, the last 2 days, I got emotional about things that I've never gotten emotional about. So I'm not sure. I always call it my trauma menstrual cycle. I'm not sure where it takes me, but it takes me there. But anyway, he finally was able to talk, and it was his voice cracking. He said, all I could see was, you know, my family member in that woman. So, yeah. And so, but it was absolutely incredible. It was awesome, you know. And then, you know, he looked out and he said, hey, we're all human beings. We all struggle with this stuff. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so, I mean, all the support that the Recruit Depot pulled, you know, rolls out was great. And then that started. And then yesterday, for the first time, Peyton Davis flew down from Alaska. And so I picked her up at my friend's house, and her aunt and uncle. And so Rudy, who's you, F-18 guy, right? As you know him as F-18 guy. So I meet Peyton yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we drive down to MCRD and get to talk and know her and a little bit. And then we, and again, I've never met her. I never met her until yesterday. And then we have to get all the audio shit right. And the sound system in the Depot Theater, there was some kind of setting either in their software. They don't have a hard soundboard. It's all electronic. But it was amplifying the bass too much. So they had obviously some kind of mixing board that somebody had tricked out. Anyway, so we were trying to fix that. And then Colonel Faye got up and said his thing, and then I introduced Peyton. I said, I want everybody here to welcome Peyton Davis. She flew down from Alaska to be here today with us. She is an example of what post-traumatic winning is. And so Peyton stood up, and she talked about her father taking his life, and then she said, I sing this song, Hurt, because it makes sense, you know, it touches me, right? And it's okay to hurt. So then she sang her song, and then you see everyone sitting there like, what the fuck did I come to today? And then they hear post-traumatic winning. And post-traumatic winning was different, okay? Because I had General Furness, Dave Furness, I had him record a couple things. I mean, when I started this, post-traumatic winning was a proposition. I believe we can have an impact if we do these things. All right, hold on. I got to shut a window. I forgot to do this. Excuse me. All right. The I know. Not very professional, Mac. Hey, sometimes the window gets left open, man. What can I say? So when last January, I mean, post-traumatic winning is a proposition. Now it's not. Because of the efforts of the Marines and the sailors of the 2nd Marine Division, post-traumatic winning has a set of numbers that goes with it. And that is 18,000 Marines in the 2nd Marine Division and sailors, and one suicide in 7 months. Okay? Now, that's a jaw-dropping number. That's a jaw-dropping number. And it's because of the presentation changes the discussion wherever it's given. And that's one of the coolest things about it. And I love it. And it all comes from our culture. It all comes from the people that have been on this program and what they've taught me. And I'm just kind of a conduit that takes that stuff and packages a little bit and puts it together and racks and stacks it and then says, hey, here's what I know and I want to give it to you. And at the end of it, you know, is the challenge. Here's the challenge. The challenge isn't you feeling better. The challenge is that you've got to do that. But the challenge is to take that and to go affect the lives of other people. Okay? To go affect the lives of other people. And so, And now that even comes with an additional explanation and real-world experience. So the second thing that General Furness cut for me was, here's what we're doing, okay, in terms of counseling. Here's how we're making this real. So you have, so that bullet allows me to look at them and say this, and if they can do it, there's no reason that you can't do it here, right? Especially at the recruit depots, because, I mean, people get screened to go there, right? You hear the terms, you know, uniquely qualified, hand-selected. Yeah, most of the time that means you're getting screwed. But in the cases of the recruit depot and recruiting, it's true. I mean, you get screened to go there. Not everybody can go there. It was a wonderful experience. I had a friend of mine from college who lives in San Diego who had never been aboard the recruit depot in his life. Ted Peterson. He was born and raised in my hometown of Sacramento. I didn't meet him till I was in college and stayed with he and his wife Ann up at Lake Tahoe. And so Ted showed up. He didn't tell me till just before he seen him, but it was his birthday. I would have embarrassed him if had I known. But, he came there and he sent me a text message last night. You know, he said it was an incredible day and telling me how proud he was of me. So, again, post-traumatic winning is the gift, for me, is the gift that keeps giving. Because the more people that it gets in front of, the more great things happen, and the more those things come back to me, and it's just, you know, it's a wonderful experience. I had, I won't give you her title, but somebody at the end of the presentation yesterday, she comes up and she said, never seen her in my life. She walks up to me, she sticks her hands out, I go to shake her hand, and she said, that was fucking awesome. I was like, whoa, a woman after my own heart, man. I said, thank you. And she said, I deliberately didn't come till this last session. Because I wanted to hear what people were saying, which made me nervous, right? And then I said, and? She said, I had people coming by my office all day yesterday and this morning saying, have you gone yet? Have you gone yet? And I'd say, no. What did you think? And I said, what did they say? She said, you did good. I said, damn it, if only my mother was alive, right? Now, corporal punishment, Kathleen would love it, right? She would love it. It was great. And like I said, it keeps getting better, and which is really exciting, which is really exciting for me. So, you know what? And then I called General. I woke up today at like 3:50 in the morning, because after I do this stuff, even though last night I was pretty tired, I came home and I was good at, I cooked a steak actually, because I was hungry, because I hadn't eaten most of the day. I didn't eat very much yesterday, so I was hungry and I wanted to eat something good. So I ate a steak and asparagus and a baked potato in the spirit of the Almarine Radio chef. But I started watching the Yankee game, which I wasn't able to, obviously watch. They won a doubleheader yesterday, which made me happy. But I'm pissed at him, because I think the manager of the Yankees, a guy named Aaron Boone, I think he's kind of soft, man. And we can get into a little baseball maybe later, but. So in protest, I didn't watch on Tuesday, I think, because of the way they lost on Monday. So anyway, so I was going to put, like, the archived copy on MLB's TV station. I was going to put that on, and I did. And I was trying not to fall asleep because I had a little bit of work to do. But that didn't work because I was dozing in and out as I watched the ball game. And then I ate my steak with Jack and Joe, who were fired up to see me after being gone for a couple of days. And then I fall asleep. I wake up at 3:50, and I have all these things going through my head, right, that I talked about this morning. And, things I need to write down, right? I told General Mattis I'd get him a general outline of what we'll talk about in the interview that we'll record later on this morning and yet that you'll hear on Monday. And so I had to get that done. I wanted to email Peyton and thank her and just tell her. And I did the same thing with Colonel Fay. Hey, I want to thank you, and I want you to know that, you're changing lives. You saved lives yesterday. You may not know it, but I'm going to tell you for sure that stuff lands with a thud and it needs no salesman, and they'll do it. They'll do it. I promise you. And so I thanked him for being a part of it, but just tell him how cool it was. So got it this morning. And then the other person, I needed to call and tell and talk to was, Dave Furness. So I sent him an email, and because he's in D.C. hanging out at the Pentagon today, and told him, hey, the 2nd Marine Division, their slogan is, their motto is follow me. I said, you guys, right, everybody's following you relative to post-traumatic winning. And I said, what you did, the stuff you recorded makes the presentation better. And, and when he and I were together in April, we were just hanging out, talking. I can't remember even what we were doing. And I think we were going someplace, and we were talking, and he looks at me and he says, buddy, now, mind you, he and I have served together in our careers 4 different times, and we're great friends, but, we've served together a lot. And he looked at me and he said, we've done a lot of great stuff in our careers together. He said, but this is the best thing we've ever done. He said, saving people, he said, is cool. And so I sent him an email telling him, how important the stuff that he had done and how important the work that they've done in the 2nd Division, right, the counseling stuff they've done, how important that is, and that they're setting down a record that other installations, other units are gonna try to follow. And that track record is really important. Because when you say that, I want to say an MCRD, the permanent personnel might be 5,500 people. All right, here's an organization of 18,000 that's had one Marine take his life in 7 months. right? There's no reason why you can't do that. There's no reason at all why you can't do that. They're Marines, you're Marines, right? You have to get after it. And so that record is, it takes post-traumatic winning and the truth that comes out of our culture, and it's not a proposition anymore. It's a fact. And all that, we can make that number go down, that's not a proposal anymore. That's not an idea anymore. It's a fact. It's being done. It's been done. So anyway, if you can't tell, moderately enthusiastic. All right, let me tell you what we're going to do on the show today. We'll check some news. Marines are shooting drones down. Oh, that's awesome. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then the Recruit Depot is pretty cool, right? It's old core, right? It's old core. And, you know, the mustard yellow buildings that are there, right? Located right next to the airport and all that. But, you know, the coolest part about being around there is all of a sudden you see a company of Marines, of recruits, you know, marching somewhere, doing something. You know, you see, right, the process. And, it always makes you smile. It always makes you smile. So being around there was pretty cool, too. And I got a tour of the CG's house. So General Heritage said, hey, Mac, you want to see the house? I said, sure. And the gardens are beautiful there at the CG's home there. And, again, it's just the base was bought, I want to say, in 1905 or something like that, late 1890s. Smedley Butler's medals and sword hang in like the sitting room. So you walk around the corner and here's his medals and sword. And John Kennedy used the house. So there's a Kennedy room in the house. He gave a speech in the backyard. And so there's pictures of the day he gave the speech and whatnot. And then there's all the cool things that normally go. It's a historical site. And then in the back, there's I think it's called the Smedley Butler Pond. So General Butler, you know, built the pond. There's carp in it, right? And the guards run it. There's a bell that Holland Mad Smith brought back from Saipan that's there in the garden, hanging in the garden. And, so it's just like you see these pieces of Marine Corps history, you know, and the occupants, the legendary occupants of this home. And very, very cool. Very cool. And absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. The other thing he did was his kid was playing with this virtual reality. Like he had these goggles on, and then he had these things in his hands. There were controllers in his hands. He goes, hey, Matt, come here. You got to check this out. So he puts these goggles on me, and he said, okay, now you have to draw like a square around yourself so it defines where the activity takes place so you don't like fall down the stairs or anything. So you have to, so he walks me through it. And then like, it was unbelievable. So there's this virtual reality thing comes up, 360 degrees. And you have to learn how to kind of manipulate the handheld devices. So they're actually your hands. So you look down at your hands and you see hands. They were these glowing blue things. And they're the controllers. And then like they put things in front of you. You're supposed to pick them up and throw them and stuff like that. And you're watching and you're like, whoa, this is crazy. So yeah, I got my first exposure to that. I've never done that before. So anyway, but it's just two awesome days. And to all the Marines and sailors who came up and all the support people who helped out, whether it be Captain Goldbeck who from the protocol office who put it together, to the ops guys who executed, to the audiovisual guys who supported it, to the MCCS people who showed up and had such nice things to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just know this, you're going to save somebody's life. You're going to change lives by having that there because of the power of the presentation. And I say that without any pride of ownership, because I'm just another person handing these lessons down as they've been handed down to me. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful couple days. All right. Whitney Houston's going to join us. She'll sing the national anthem. And then we'll check the news, and then the shuffle join us. So don't go anywhere. On a Friday, Whitney Houston sings her rendition of the national anthem. Good morning. She is, and this is dedicated to the Marines and sailors, the civilians who made the last couple days a great experience for me, and hopefully as great or better for themselves. So this is dedicated to them, and a huge thank you from me here at All Marine Radio, and for everybody, to include the one and only Peyton Davis, who joined us and contributed, and just an awesome couple of days. This is dedicated to all of them.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front, with his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. Standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Yeah, that's what makes door number four different. All right, time to check the weather in Marineland. Email. Mac, wow. Sounds like an awesome couple days. Yeah, it was. It was, but you can't tell. Oh, let me update a story. All right, let me read you an email. Good evening, sir. I am beyond thrilled to be able to send you this email. I found out this afternoon that I've been accepted into OCS as a pre-select for the January 2020. My OSO called to give me the great news. I was at my desk at work and I let out a scream when I got off the phone. It was one of the happiest moments of my entire life. I called my parents right away. My mom was crying, which made me cry. My dad was also ecstatic. I'm sure you know the feeling. My OSO told me how proud he was of the work I had put in to get to this point. He's going to work with me to make sure I go to OCS as prepared as possible. Apparently, this selection board was extremely competitive, as you would expect, and lots of law contracts were rejected outright, but not mine. I'm so elated I can hardly contain myself. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I actually did it. What a day. Next stop, Quantico. Thank you for your encouragement, sir. Have a great evening. Respectfully, Andrew Lorelli. How about that? That's fucking awesome. I mean, come on, man. That is cool as shit. Congratulations, Andrew. I had a number of people ask me, have you heard from that guy yet? I said, no, man. We'll wait. That's cool as shit. Anyway, yeah, there you go. All right, the weather. Uh-oh, four weather advisors in the Quantico area. So, hold on, we have to have the music, right? I can't do this without music. There you go. Holy shit, they have five weather advisories in Quantico. You know we got to talk about that. Currently, it is mostly sunny and 92 degrees. Excessive heat watch, which means it's theoretical. Excessive heat warning, which means it's real. An air quality alert and a local pollen alert. And a second excessive heat watch for a different date time period. Okay. So, yeah. So East Coast getting hot. Partly cloudy in 85 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny in 87 at Marine Corps Base 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 79. Camp Butler, Camp Hansen in Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, in 83. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 100. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, cloudy, and 98 degrees. And at the home of All Marine Radio, where it's a happy day, man. Andrew Lorelli is going to be a candidate, and he's fired up about it. That's cool as shit. Cloudy in 68. Looking for a high today of... Yeah, it was beautiful in San Diego yesterday. Hadn't been like that for 2 days before that. Looking for a high today of some clouds and 73 degrees. On Saturday, 75 degrees, and then on Sunday, 79 degrees. Whoa. The record skipping. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. The one and only, the home of post-traumatic winning, All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Here she is. We got to get Peyton back on the program to talk about her experience. It's pretty cool sitting there watching her sing this stuff.
Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
All right, let's get to the news. The Stars and Stripes number one story, as you might guess, Navy ship shoots down Iranian drone over the Straits of Hormuz. The USS Boxer, which I believe is part of the 11th MEU, that has I think it's 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines is out there. Yeah, embarked on the Boxer, parts of which are embarked on the Boxer, shot down a drone in international airspace as the drone closed within threatening range. So, yeah. A couple more stories in Stars and Stripes. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second. Misaligned propeller shaft delays collision. Damaged USS McCain's return to sea. So that's got to get fixed before the McCain can get back to sea. And a search and rescue operation is currently underway for a U.S. sailor reported missing in the Arabian Sea. Now, I want to say the last couple of times the Navy has searched for somebody, they turned up later on ships. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that this is hopefully more of that and not somebody actually over this side of the ship. Alright, relative to the shooting down of a drone. The amphibious warship Boxer took down an Iranian drone that U.S. officials say threatened the ship as it entered the Persian Gulf on Thursday. Now let me tell you, the Iranians have been, you know, they do this ass clown shit all the time. And I've said before in this program, you know, the Navy, United States Navy, when a patrol boat is coming at you and you've warned it and it's traveling in what I would call an attack profile and you don't defend yourself, which the Navy has shown, in my opinion, too much restraint in the past. And these ships come close and they do stupid shit. And so when are you going to shoot back? When they shoot at you and somebody's dead? You have every right to defend yourself. And there's rules that other ships and airplanes are supposed to operate under. And if they don't, and they threaten you, then you have the right to defend yourself. Anyway, at about 10 o'clock local time, Persian Gulf, yesterday, the Boxer was transiting the Straits of Hormuz when an Iranian fixed-wing drone approached the ship. Quote, a fixed-wing unmanned aerial system approached the Boxer and closed within a threatening range. The ship took defensive action against the unmanned aerial system to ensure the safety of the ship and the crew. That's from a Pentagon spokesman in a statement provided to USNI News. The statement didn't detail the method in which the Boxer downed the drone. Now, this is written by Sam Legrone, who's been on the program before. The ship is armed with the RIM-7 Sea Sparrow short-range anti-ship missile. It's armed with the RIM-116 rolling airframe missile, also known as the RAM, and the Phalanx SeaWiz point defense weapon system. That thing looks like R2-D2, got a Gatling gun on it, shoots stuff down. Additionally, the Navy and the Marine Corps have begun to field a variety of non-kinetic systems capable of downing a drone by other means. Photographs released by the Navy in January show Marines operating the MRZR-mounted anti-UAS Marine Air Defense Integrated System on the deck of the Kearsarge as part of the ship's modern force protection regime as it transited the Suez Canal. So the picture shows on the Kearsarge, back on the Fantail, this platform. Right? This essentially electronic platform that I don't know if it jams, and maybe the article will say, but if it jams the navigation and the reception system, which ultimately downs the drone. So give me a second. We'll get to that. So there's a picture that the USNI is a Marine Corps picture that the USNI News uses in kind of trying to explain this. So USNI understands that the 11th MEU unit on board the Boxer was also deployed with this system and that it's likely the weapon that was used to splash the Iranian drone. Military.com reported that MADIS, M-A-D-I-S, was used in the engagement. In March, USNI News reported that the Marines were experimenting with the capability before developing a version of to deploy with the Marines' JLTVs, which is the new version of the Humvee. The MADIS system connects mature radars, passive detection sensors, optics and jammers, and soon a kinetic kill option will be integrated. Likely a small drone could shoot down another small drone. News of the intercept first came from a press event at the White House in which President Trump told reporters of the downing of the drone. The Boxer has been operating under the command of U.S. Central Command since about mid-June with the 11th MEU and two other amphibious warships. The Amphibious Readiness Group includes the WASP-class amphibious ship USS Boxer, the USS John P. Murtha, and the USS Harper's Ferry. They left San Diego on May 1st. And then the article, Legrone, ends with this. The presence of large fixed-wing Iranian drones near the Persian Gulf is not new, with carriers and other U.S. warships rotating through the region having interactions with them in recent years. However, the drones typically kept their distance, making sure the U.S. ships see them, but not coming close enough where ships have had to shoot them down. I guess that changed yesterday. So we'll continue. The Iranians said, like, what are you talking about? We don't know what you're talking about. So, how do you know they're lying? Their lips are moving. Top story in Marine Corps Times is General Berger says that most Marine recruits require a drug waiver, but does that mean that the Marine Corps has a drug problem? That's in the news today. Pictures of the remains of Marines who fought on Tarawa and corpsmen that fought on Tarawa. As that story gets followed, and we've been following that. And then there's a cool story that you see more and more these days. Right? And that is this. Hundreds attend funeral for veteran with no known relatives. Hundreds of people attended the funeral for a Vietnam veteran from Michigan who has no known living relatives. 67-year-old Wayne Sarge Wilson of Niles died during heart surgery in May, years after he'd made funeral arrangements for himself at Brown Funeral Home and cremation services. The funeral home's director invited Niles residents to Wednesday's services after learning that the Michigan City, Indiana native had no living relatives. Several hundred residents and veterans attended the services and burial at Silver Brook Cemetery in Nile. And so, I mean, you see this happen around the country, right? Not everybody cares, but there are a lot of people that do. And when you see this stuff and you see, you know, families that go, parents that take their children, it makes your heart feel good. All right. Another story. Associated Press story, tensions with Iran mount. Report says U.S. readying 500 troops to deploy to Saudi Arabia. CNN reports that two defense officials confirmed 500 troops will deploy to the Prince Sultan Air Base, which the U.S. has eyed as a spot for increased presence because intelligence indicates the desert region would be difficult for Iranian missiles to strike. The new troops would be in addition to a small number of troops and support personnel already in Saudi Arabia, readying a Patriot missile defense battery and a runway. The deployment is part of the Pentagon's plan to send 1,000 additional troops to the Middle East due to escalating tensions with Iran. The proposal was unveiled on June 17th, but it was unclear exactly where the troops would be sent. So, anyway, so that in the news. Right? Shocker. And we'll go through the top stories in Early Bird real quick, and then we'll get the chef on and find out what he's doing. Top five stories. Number one, Iran denies U.S. destroyed an Iranian drone near the Persian Gulf. Exactly. What? What are you talking about? Number two, Senate committee approves Esper and Milley to lead the Pentagon, teeing up a final vote. So, Senate Armed Services Committee approved Donald Trump's picks to the Pentagon's top two spots, right? Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense. So, good luck to them. Number three, Turkey calls on U.S. to reverse decision on the F-35 exclusion. Memo to Turkey, fuck off, man. You want to go run with the Soviets? Go ahead. The Russians, excuse me? Go ahead. Alright, go ahead. And let me just tell you, President Erdogan is taking that country towards a civil war. And it's not going to be good for Turkey. Number four, Green Beret lawmaker. DOD and industry may be champagne popping now, but counterterrorism ops always come back. Yeah, you know, again, for people, I mean, it's not an either-or proposition. Either we do peer war or we do nothing, right? Or we do counterinsurgency, right? It's a continuum. You do both. You have to do both. So, anyway, number five, U.S. military brings back remains from Battle of World War II, which is the Battle of Tarawa. All right. Couple of stories that have been prominent about the DOD that let me update. The IG rebukes former Pentagon spokeswoman for making staff run her errands. Dana White, who we saw as a spokesperson under Secretary Mattis, the IG found that she misused her subordinates, had them run errands for her during and after work hours, according to a new investigation into her behavior there. And there's one other story I wanted to talk about, but I'm not going to have enough time to get there. All right, so don't touch that dial. When we come back, the chef is going to join us, and we will continue our Friday event here on your home for great things, and that is the one and only All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. So don't go away. The chef will join us coming up next.